We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Martinez, go! It's time for our Monday Atlanta United recap with 92.9 The Game soccer analyst Jason Longshore on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, before we get to Jason real quick, there is a Hawks news note. Hawks continue to make news, Mike, and reports out there that we are trading Omari Spielman to the Golden State Warriors. Now, we'll talk more about this coming up at around 3:20 as we break down some of the NBA moves and talk about Kawhi. But here was a guy that, again, still has a lot of potential, and maybe he lives up to it elsewhere. But my deal with Omari Spielman was he never got into shape.
Right, and Travis Schlenker is not screwing around. If you can't help this team, you're not on this team. So, again, multiple reports now, and we'll get confirmation. Nothing from the Hawks yet, but multiple NBA insider reports that he is heading that way.
All right, with that, we welcome in the analyst for our Atlanta United. His name is Jason Longshore, brought to you by Heineken. Heineken 0.0, great taste, zero alcohol, guys. And we do this each and every week with Jason, and this is a frustrating one because the show that Joseph Martinez put on yesterday, I feel like was wasted at the end of the day. 12 goals now, I think it's 7 of his last 4 appearances. That's coming on. I mean, now we're starting to see the MVP play at peak performance. What do you make of what happened yesterday? And how do we give up that goal, Jason?
My head's still spinning from yesterday. I mean, it was a game where it had everything in it. You had Atlanta start out well and play well for about the first 30 minutes or so. In good control of the game, you get a goal from Justin Merrim. It's a great goal to open things up. And then the Red Bulls took over. They do what they do. They made the game very disjointed. They started to foul, and it was very smart fouling because the referee was not calling persistent infringement and giving yellow cards for it. So every time Atlanta tried to break, it was a foul in the middle of the field. They broke up the play, and they made it jagged, and they did a really good job of that. They get 2 goals. They go up. They look like they're in great shape. And then it's a great comeback from Atlanta. They get the penalty from Joseph and an amazing ball in from Franco Escobar, first-time cross after a deflection, right onto the head of Joseph, perfect header that no goalkeeper saving. Everything looks great and feels great, and then it doesn't.
And that's the thing. We've seen it before. I mean, you cannot complain about the officials. It is what it is. Whatever style, however they are going to call it, you've got to adjust and play to it. But, I mean, they let the Red Bulls just kind of rough us up, and that's kind of a drag. And then there's pity. Now, is he getting roughed up? So that's why he gets disinterested. We heard Frank DeBoer. We played the comments earlier, Jason. Frank DeBoer is not mincing words. Pity is not giving the effort.
Yeah, I thought what he said, if you take a line from what Frank DeBoer said, you could easily read a lot of things into it. I thought, from the whole statement he made, because we were listening to it in a break on the full-time report afterwards, after the game, I think what happened is the way that game played out in the second half, Pity Martinez was an extra player for you because it wasn't a game where you could get him into spots where he could be dangerous in the final third. It was a game where you had to fight for every ball. You had to scrap for every ball. And look, that's not Pity Martinez's game. That's not how he became a great player. That's not what he does well. And in a game like yesterday, it wasn't a game for him. The changes worked. The changes were the right ones. Mm-hmm. What you said first about the referees, my issue with it is not that they didn't call stuff. It was that it was inconsistent the way it was called because you couldn't get a flow. You couldn't really adjust to the way the game was being called. It was tight, then loose, then tight, then loose, and it was very difficult to adjust to that.
It is Jason Longshore, soccer analyst for our Atlanta United here on Dukes and Bell. NFL Blitz on the way, guys. Lots of NFL news, including what Julio had to say today. When you talk about some of the bright things, let's talk about some of the bright spots. Justin Merrim, he comes off that 2-goal performance, and then he gets one yesterday. And you know, as much as we're talking about Pity, it was Pity's assist that set Justin Merrim up. Talk about Merrim and his performance. And are you surprised that we're getting what we're getting from the 30-year-old?
Not at all. I wondered how long it would take to get that. I remember when that trade came down, I told you guys that this is a talented player, and it's just a matter of him getting back to the form that made him one of the best players in the league in 2016, 2017. And the form that Orlando paid over $1 million in league allocation money to get him last year at the beginning of last season. And it didn't work out, and I think confidence became an issue. I think the issues in Orlando affected him as well. And in Atlanta, he's comfortable. You can tell that he enjoys his teammates, and he's playing with a ton of confidence. The first touch, it's a great ball from Pitti because it gives Merrim decisions to make. It gives him opportunities to decide how he wants to attack the defender. And the first touch from Merrim loses the defender. It's such a brilliant play from Justin, and he goes in and puts the ball away. And he had a good day overall as well. I thought Justin Merrim had a really good day at the office.
It is our man Jason Longshore, guys. You can follow him at Longshoe if you want to ask him questions about the U.S. men's national team, the women, and, of course, you're Atlanta United. We'll talk more about the stuff that happened last night in a minute. So moving forward, are we losing momentum, Jason? Because I know no Barco. We got to get Barco back in the mix. And once Barco's healthy, how can you have Pitti on the field?
Yeah, this is a weird one. I don't know if you're losing momentum off of this, but you have questions. And I think you have questions about the way the teams close games out. Toronto's a weird one because it's a penalty that I really didn't love that call. It felt like Richie Larea took a dive. I've watched it. I just don't see any contact there. So that one's kind of a weird one, but you do drop points. And you had the opportunity with Pitti's penalty to rescue that point. Real Salt Lake, you lost the point where you were even with a draw late. This one, you lose 2 points. That's 4 points that you've lost late in matches. And in the new playoff format, one game, 4 points can be the difference between hosting or going on the road. And that's a massive difference in this playoff format. You need to get Barco back. I think he would absolutely change things when he's available to play. He had medical testing yesterday. Hopefully he's able to rejoin team activity soon and get back into the flow. And then you're picking the best available. You're not picking based off of the resume. I don't think you're picking players based off what awards they've won in the past. I think you're picking players off who's performing the best right now and for the upcoming opponent. And that's going to affect some of the lineup decisions as well.
Was it me or were four guys watching as that ball went into the box yesterday?
Oh, man. It's just a nothing cross at the end of that game. I wouldn't say they're watching, but you have to give Red Bulls credit for the multiple runs they made. I think they were distracted. I think Robinson got caught by the run in front of him rather than just putting the ball into the stands. I think Parkhurst got pulled away from a run as well, and Escobar had a player on his back that he had to deal with, and Lorenowitz was out in front. It's a difficult situation. Also, the cross was closed down late as well, so it was able to be delivered. It's not one player. It's multiple players kind of losing their heads in that big moment, and you've had the emotional swing in the match, and that's great. But you have to lock back in and close that out because that's 2 points lost.
I know when Bradley Wright Phillips comes in, I mean, somebody's got to know that, you know, he's on the pitch. It's Jason Longshore with us, guys, at Longshoe on Twitter. Let's talk about the men last night, about what we expected. To me, Pulisic is so dynamic. The ball handling, the speed that he gets down the field. It's like, okay, guys, I'm here. Who's with me? Okay, nobody's with me. Bradley turning over the ball, Altidore. A difficult play, but a play that he never makes in a big moment. So that's my take, Jason. What part of that do I have wrong?
The way I look at it is they got where they needed to get. They needed to get to the final. You know, I thought it would be a failure if they didn't reach the final. They did. So it's hard to complain too much. Mexico's a better team right now. I think they're further along in their project. I think Tata Martino has players to match what he wants to do, and Berhalter's still trying to build what he wants to do because the U.S. has never had a style. There's never been an identifiable style for the national team to play. That's what Greg Berhalter's trying to bring to the table. It will take time. I was happy with the progress overall. I do think in this tournament you had to mix some of the veterans in with the new players, but in the fall you have CONCACAF Nations League and you have home and aways with Canada and Cuba. Those are games where you can blend in more young players. I don't think you have to turn to quite as many veterans, and you need to start looking at the next generation. And guys like Bradley and Altidore, they fit for this tournament. There's young players pushing them, and Berhalter's going to have to make the decision on, are we going to take the mistakes from the young guys coming through, or are we going to rely on the old trusted veterans?
Take the mistakes. It's Jason Longshore joining us here on Dukes and Bell. What about our ladies, and will we continue this dominance the way we've seen now with our women in the World Cup? I mean, is our lady so far above and beyond everybody else? This is what we can expect moving forward?
No. And you got to look back at this tournament. Group stage, throw it out. Spain, two penalties. That's what you get through. You had two shots on target in that game. Both were from the spot. France couldn't handle the pressure, and the U.S. could, and that's what separates the United States women from any other team in the world, is the ability to deal with pressure, the mental strength that they have. You go to the semifinal, I thought England outplayed the U.S. in the second half, and it's a goal that's brought back for offside, which was correct, it was about a foot off, and a penalty that England's captain, Steph Houghton, kind of botched and didn't strike it well, and it's a save for Alyssa Nair. England could have easily walked out the winners in that game. The Dutch, it's their first final. It showed. I thought they've had a good first half, but the U.S. took over in the second. I don't think it's a dominant World Cup for the U.S. I think it's a really good one. Jill Ellis got every decision right. The lineups were correct, and there was a lot of questions. I had them too. But Ellis nailed all of her decisions, and now you're going to be tested every year by new countries coming through. Spain's going to get better. The Dutch are going to get better. The Germans will be back. England is going to continue to improve. And when you start to see the African and South American countries as well, the women's game will be a lot of fun to watch in 4 years.
Jason Longshore with us wrapping up, brought to you by Heineken. Heineken 0.0, great taste, zero alcohol. Just real quick, I know a lot of conversation today on social media, on the in the blogs about the pay inequity. Understand, Title IX is a whole different argument. There's a lot of sports that get subsidized by the big sports. But in this case, Jason, you got FIFA, they dole out a lot of the money. There is more interest globally in the men's game than women. I get that. But is this more a question of the men are overpaid for the lack of results we're getting? Because these women, like them or not, bring home the bacon and the men don't.
It's really complicated because the women, their club salaries are subsidized by the federation and the men don't have that situation. The FIFA bonus money is drastically different. That's not a U.S. soccer thing. That's a FIFA thing in terms of how much they're doling out. That's drastically different, but there are certain things that there is zero excuse for the U.S. Soccer Federation to be paying the women less money than they pay the men. Things like per diems, things like bonuses for making a World Cup roster, things like the time for being in a training camp, those sorts of things, there is zero excuse at this point because you have the TV rights being sold, you have sponsorships being done as an overall package. And when you're lumping everything together and then paying them out differently, and look, the women's TV ratings, they're higher. The attendance is generally better for the women than the men. So there's some things that the federation has to fix, and they are going to go to arbitration once everybody gets back, and they're going to sort this out, and they need to because it's a black eye for U.S. soccer.
Jason, great stuff as always. Jason Longshore, guys, follow him at Longshoe on the Twitter. Appreciate the time. Great info there, man. And
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.